We are here at two turning points in our readings. In the book of Acts, we come to the place where the church moves out by a direct order of the Holy Spirit. Now, the way the Lord has prepared this, Paul was converted, that's chapter 9. Then Peter was sent to the Gentiles in chapter 10. Explains it to the other brethren and gets their consent in chapter 11. And so by now, there is a group of believers, non-Jews, up in Antioch. And Barnabas went and got Saul, Paul, brought him there. Barnabas knew who he was. He had the gift of discernment. And he knew who this man was. And perhaps the Lord had mystically instructed him as to what his plans were for him. And so we have this text. The word Antioch, prophets and teachers. Any community, any diocese that tries to get along without prophets and teachers isn't going to make it. Administration won't do it. That's that. See, all the gifts are needed. Healing, you know. Words of knowledge, prophets, and teachers. In the list in Ephesians, you have this whole list. Huh? Apostles, prophets, teachers. I mean, prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And here they are, you see. Prophets. And then they give the names. Well, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. They were seeking the will of the Lord. The Holy Spirit changed world history. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. They obeyed, and that changed the history of the world. They went and began to preach. Not just accept people who came, but to go out now and make this known, preach it throughout the whole world under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the turning point in the history of the world, right there. So they, sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there to Cyprus, and then Salamis, and they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And it begins. Now they're openly preaching to the Jews, who often reject them, and then they go to the Gentiles. But you see, surrounding each community of Jews was a whole group of people attracted first by the clarity of their monotheism. There is only one God, and He is the creator of the whole universe, and He has instructed us on how to live. He has taught us. And their moral life. Their families stayed together. Their children obeyed them. They were honest. So people were attracted. And so around each Christian Jewish community, there was a group of people called proselytes, those who were wanted to become Jews and were, we call them catechumens, I guess, today. Then God-fearers, those who said, I like the monotheism, and I like the moral life, and I am committed to that. But to the whole Torah, I'm not committed. And they're called God-fearers. It was from these proselytes and God-fearers that came the first non-Jewish converts. And that the gospel spread. That was also God's providence. And the importance of His work with the Jews. And having them spread throughout, they were in every community in the known world, practically, in those days, so that they could go there first and preach. And so this is a turning point. The world will never be the same because these men fasted and prayed, heard the Holy Spirit, obeyed, and Paul and Barnabas set out. Now, in the Gospel, which is chapter 12, We have the last verses, 44 to 50. And this ends, as I say, we're at a turning point in both of our readings for Easter time. Now we have the end of chapter 12. John's Gospel is divided into the first 12 chapters, preceded by this prologue, of course, and then the 12 chapters, which is called the Book of Signs. Jesus revealing himself through word, through sign, through presence. Then, starting in chapter 13, the Book of Glory, it begins the Passion with the washing them of the feet, the long discourses that are only in John, and then finally the account of the arrest, trial, crucifixion, and resurrection. That's the Book of Glory. Now, the church does this for us to prepare us for Pentecost. And as we now move into this, we will hear in the discourses that our Lord gives, after a while, the five promises of the Paraclete to prepare our hearts for the grace of Pentecost. And so today, we have this text which requires a very special anointing, which the Holy Spirit is happy to give, to understand who is it who's speaking in this text. Who is this person? Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. Who sent Jesus? The Almighty Creator of the whole world. And if you see Jesus, the man, standing there in front of you, if you first allow him to be there as a human being, then if you try to use your mind to find out, why is this man so extraordinary? You begin to move. Huh? And then your mind is touched and you believe, which is a pure gift of God. Because believing that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God goes beyond all the capacities we have as human beings to ever believe that. But the challenge is that he comes and offers us this. Huh? I came into the world as light. My friends, if you look at the mess we're in as a world, couldn't we use some light? We can't even solve a war. To say nothing of the prejudice against those who believe in Christ in this country, especially the Catholics. You know, there's a wisecrack. You can be prejudiced against anybody you want, but you'll pay the price for it. Black Americans, Jews, Muslims, homosexuals, but you can mock Catholics all you want. That's a fact. Why? Because by the mercy of God, we are the light of the world. That's what Jesus told us. And all who believe in Christ and are faithful to his teaching are the only thing that's the salt of the world. What does salt do? It gives flavor and meaning and excitement, but it also preserves. And without the truth of Jesus Christ, there is nothing to stop this world from going to corruption. Nothing. St. Athanasius knew that and paid for it because he loved the world so much in the power of Jesus that he wouldn't let them down. I don't care how many times you send me into exile. I am going to preach the reality and the majesty of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have here. Huh? And so, I came into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke. Listen to that word. And if you reject that, you are rejecting the eternal Son of God. That's very serious. That's the word. Here is the offer of salvation with all that that implies, that there is a God, that we're called to an eternal life with him, that we are utterly unable to achieve that by ourselves. In fact, we're heading in the other direction by everything that's in us now because of sin. And here comes the word of salvation. You either accept it or reject it. And you work your own condemnation. The word is there. This is serious. This is serious. And do you see our obligation, my friends? You know, I was, as some of you know, I was in Ireland, and we had a retreat for religious sisters, about 150. Many were elderly and retired. And I said to them, you are not retired. There is no retirement. Your fidelity to Jesus Christ is what's going to turn Ireland around. You have a huge responsibility. There's no such thing as retirement. You don't teach anymore, you don't administer anymore, but you don't retire. The salvation of the world can depend on your fidelity to what you know and what you've learned over all these years. Now you can be an apostle. You can change the world. And so we have that, huh? And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Yield to this word of God and you will live forever. And that is why he says, I am telling you just what the Father told me. What did the Father tell Jesus? You are my son from all eternity. That generation of the Son from the Father, which is beyond time. That's the primary word the Father spoke to Jesus. That's the word he speaks to us. I am the eternal, living, divine, infinite Son of God, and I offer you salvation. And through you I offer it to the world. So, for love of me, yield to me. Get holy. I need you.